it's going to be a little bit of a wild Monday, as we have two pretty big things going on today. In the college world, we have the transfer portal opening up, and that's going to maybe give us some local updates on Colorado State and UNC and such. Also, free agency today. I mean, we are making moves already, left and right. The Denver Broncos, moments ago, just signed Ben Powers, former Baltimore Raven. They signed him to left guard Ben Powers, 4-year, $52 million deal, $28.5 million guaranteed, left guard. Huge move by the Paytons. Huge move. Unfortunately, that's it for Dalton Risner. We kind of anticipated that Risner would be gone, but now it's obvious. I mean, yeah, I guess there's a chance you bring him back and he plays right guard or something like that, but I don't see it happening. The Broncos get Ben Powers on a 4-year deal. That's what they needed. That was number one. Fill up the offensive line. Got to get that improved quickly, and that'll do it. So already, big move for Sean Payton and this Broncos team that's trying to figure out their offensive line. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. This is your last day to get in on our March Madness challenge, by the way. So you guys, here's what we're going to do. Just whenever you want to text in the show, text us your email. I know people have been asking. People have been saying, like, hey, I didn't think that KFK was doing a March Madness bracket challenge anymore. We've been getting messages. It's like, no. Well, we're absolutely doing it. I just think people are shying away because they know I'm going to win this thing. Actually, we got a lot in the mix. I mean, we want this thing to fill up, but we want you in there. Get you in. It's going to be a battle. You get a chance to win some stuff, too. Got a foursome of golf from the Eaton Country Club, $200, all that. How you feeling? You feeling confident? Have you glanced at your bracket yet, Angel?
A little bit. I've glanced at it, kind of examining who's in what region and not. It's kind of new territory for me because my team has never been in this type of position before, the overall number one seed. It's exciting. It's uncharted territory, so I don't know how to – I've never been in this space as a basketball fan for my college team, so it's exciting.
Well, we already know you have Alabama all the way through.
Sharpied.
We already know that's done. Then the rest will be. My big question again here is, how will the Mountain West show out? You know, what's that going to look like? I mean, Utah State's playing Missouri. San Diego State's playing Charleston. Boise State's playing Northwestern. Nevada's in the first four. Can they get in? You know, again, that's a big question around this. And then Friday, we're going to be out at McCarty's Grill because we're going to have March Madness playing on the station all day Thursday and Friday, essentially, well, starting at 10. So Friday, we're going to be out there, watch party. We want the Hooligans to be out there. It's going to be great.
Got another Broncos free agent signing here.
Here we go. What
from
do we got?
Ian Rappaport and Dov Kleiman. The Broncos are signing former Raiders quarterback Jarrett Stidham to a 2-year, $10 million deal.
I thought you were going to say Derek Carr.
No, he's in New Orleans.
Well, we knew they didn't tender Brett Rippon, so we knew that was going to be done. So, okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's
an Auburn quarterback.
Yeah,
so good luck.
There you go. The Broncos saved, as Zach Stevens just posted this moments ago, they are moving on from Graham Glasgow. They saved $11 million for moving on from him. And then they just spent, obviously, that on, I think it's going to be like $13 a year for Ben Powers. And how about this one? KJ Hamler, Cortland Sutton, and Jerry Jeudy are all in trade rumors right now, according to our guy, Zach Stevens. I don't know if that puts them on the trade block. Apparently, though, the Broncos want to go big on that. They don't want to just give those guys away for a fifth-round pick or something. Three receivers, though. That means Tim Patrick, he's number one. Now, odds are they're not going to trade all three of those guys. But they're now in the mix. And this day and age, man, you find out your names on the trade block, kind of. What's that going to look like in the future? I would, if you can get something for Cortland Sutton, it's unfortunate because I really thought Sutton was going to be a pretty big-time receiver. Never got right after the injury. KJ Hamler, kind of waiting for him to take the next step. And I think last year it's safe to say Russell Wilson stunted all these guys' growth as well. You saw Jerry Jeudy come on strong the last four or five games. I would like to go there, but to stay there with Jeudy, Patrick and Jeudy, and then KJ Hamler. I mean, I would be good with that group. So kind of shocked that all three of their names are mentioned in this trade report. So, man, free agency's nuts. Your boys didn't waste any time, too. Got Ramsey coming to Miami.
Yeah, pretty fun weekend as a Dolphins fan. They signed Tua to his fifth-year option, so two more guaranteed years. That's pretty cool.
So Tom Brady's not coming to Miami.
No quarterbacks are coming to Miami unless you're willing to play backup.
You're so
and then
salty on this.
Sunday, they make a crazy move, a move that you couldn't even do in Madden if you wanted to. Uh-uh. That's how crazy this deal was. Third-round pick and a backup tight end for Jalen Ramsey.
I guess it just goes to show you where the Rams are with their situation and how teams view cornerbacks. I mean, shutdown corners are great, but they don't really view them as guys they can build around, and the Rams are offloading everything, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, no state income tax and South Florida is pretty nice, too.
Yeah.
Not going to take all your money.
Well, Miami could be good. See, Ramsey, what makes sense with Ramsey with Miami is you've already got a decent team, assuming Tua can stay healthy. You've got a decent team there. Now you add, and you didn't have to give up much for him, you add a top-tier cornerback, maybe the best in the league. And so that...
with a Fangio defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Miami got better over the weekend.
They're not done yet either. Yeah.
Denver got better just now. Getting Ben Powers, huge move. And it's a move where I wonder now what they'll do with Garrett Bowles. Because does a good offensive lineman like Ben Powers raise the level of play for a guy like Garrett Bowles? You would think so. I mean, on the offensive line, when you can have a really good guard there in between the center and your left tackle, maybe that raises all boats there. But this was big. They absolutely needed to do this. They got a backup quarterback. Great. So far off to a great start for the Broncos here in this free agency period. We'll see what they do next. It's fast and furious right now. I want to get into the nuggets from the weekend, Angel. So let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. Well, the good for me is I'm just going to say the Mountain West. That's exciting. You know, you got four teams in the tournament. Three are, you know, in the full-on tournament. Nevada's got to play in. But that's exciting for this conference as we're in a very difficult time in college sports. The question will be, though, can you win a couple of games? Can you get past the first round? Can you get a couple of teams to get past the first round? Because now it's all about showing out in this Mountain West Conference. The bad, I'm going to say the Nuggets. The bad, obviously, three-game losing streak. And so I'm just curious, all those texters and everything on Friday that were like, hey, I think you even, Angel, like, let's see how they do against the Spurs. Well, they dropped to the Spurs and they dropped to the Brooklyn Nets. Three in a row. The ugly? I'm going to go with Michael Malone today. I thought Michael Malone had a rough weekend of coaching. I'm not saying that was the end-all be-all to why this losing streak is happening. Defense is non-existent. But Malone has just, since the trade deadline, he shut off Christian Brown. No Christian Brown. And then he makes a decision to bench Michael Porter Jr. in the fourth, puts him in with like 20 seconds left. I don't understand that move. They were all playing like crap in the third. I mean, it did not look good. And yet, Porter's going to be the guy you bench? Porter was somewhat vocal about it, and he said, hey, it's hard to get into a rhythm when that happens. So listen, Bruce Brown's been bad. Joker, actually, aside from that Chicago game, he has been right back to the MVP form. But everything else, there's no defense. Bad turnovers. They look sloppy. Again, I go back to the Chicago game, and that'll do it. That's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. I go back to the Chicago game. They're not playing Nuggets basketball. They're playing, I'm just going to say, it's a lazy form of basketball that they're playing right now. Not setting up the offense, settling for threes, going too fast, trying to make miraculous passes happen. Joker looked fantastic. Monster triple-double by him. But I love the chemistry between he and Christian Brown, but we don't get to see it. And Malone he's known for this. He doesn't play rookies. I mean, Brown showed us something. I thought the whole part of the feel-good story of moving on from Bones Highland was that, oh, well, Christian Brown's stepping up. And I know they want Reggie Jackson to be in the mix more, but I'm telling you, Christian Brown, better defensive player right now at this stage. I'm very concerned, actually, at this point. Nuggets are now five games ahead. But I mean, I was watching that Brooklyn game, and it seems like they're always bad on Sunday afternoons. Whenever they play, like, Sunday morning or afternoon games, they typically never win those games. But my poll question today at thewholeshow.com, panic time? Where are you, Angel? Mr. Optimistic, typically. Three-game losing streak, cause for concern.
Yeah, there's definitely some concern creeping in. I'm not full-on panic mode, full-on, you know, this is over, freak-out mode, but I'm definitely frustrated. I saw this yesterday on Twitter. A couple weeks ago, we had hyped up that Memphis game so much.
Mm-hmm.
That was the payback game, revenge game. You could almost guarantee the one seed in this one. Jokic has a reputation to uphold. We were talking with the Perkins narrative all of that week, building up to that Friday game against Memphis, and they went out and just went off in that game. Did they, as a team, mentally get into that focus where, oh, we take care of Memphis, we'll be good in the West, we'll be good with the one seed, we're fine, whatever, and then you kind of let it slip in the last couple of games? And I think there are different factors for each one of these, but the biggest and trending one is the bench decisions, the rotations on the bench, when we're taking our players, when we're taking the starters out, and the bench is stuck in this mode where it's, okay, you're going to come on with a 10-12 point lead, you're either going to be all defense or we're going to be some defense and some scoring, depending on who wants to score that night. And I get it has to be different each night because each opponent is different and you have to scheme your team to them, but there's zero chemistry on this bench.
Yeah, again, that's why the decisions to not sprinkle in a guy like Christian Brown a little more. And I know he's a rookie, but dude, what did Michael Malone see that we didn't? Because when he was playing regularly, he was good. We were all pleasantly surprised by his growth as a rookie, as a player. You know, yeah, you go back to, that's a good point, because the Memphis game, you're all up. You beat Toronto the following Monday, but that was a weird game. Remember the Toronto game? They were down by like 7 with 4 minutes left. It took somewhat of a miraculous comeback to win that game. Then you lose to Chicago. Chicago was a weird game in the sense of Joker fired up 9 three-pointers. Lots of turnovers. Lousy defense. San Antonio, terrible defense. Joker did his thing. Triple-double for him. Brooklyn was about a mirror image of the San Antonio game, save for the fact that Denver came back and made it interesting late. But, yeah, I don't know. Now, I mean, here's the thing. Now you're on the road for, what, the next six games or so, five games? Toronto, Detroit, New York, Brooklyn, Washington. And then after that, you start your... You start the gauntlet, man. You got Milwaukee, Philly, New Orleans, Phoenix, Golden State. Phoenix is down there again. Sacramento at the end of the season. This is why I said the Chicago, San Antonio, Brooklyn games were pretty important. Were fairly significant. But I don't understand his bench rotation. I don't get it. It's frustrating. The Michael Porter Jr. thing. I mean, what is that? So that's your scapegoat? That's the guy that's going to... That's going to get the brunt of this? You're basically saying he's the reason? I mean, they're all playing poor defense. I just don't understand it, man. I don't. Bruce Brown has been really rough. 3 of 10. Couldn't hit gimme layups, gimme shots. Joker is back to form. I love that line. 0-for-1 from three-point line. Okay, let's stop there. You don't need to shoot threes anymore. It's not that he can't make them. It's just, dude, he's automatic inside the free throw line. So let's get there. 35 points for him, 11 assists, and 20 rebounds. Yeah, that'll do it. He needed that one for his MVP quest. Aaron Gordon was fine, but defensively he's not there. Jamal Murray goes out of that game, messes with his knee, but it sounds like that's nothing to worry about. Hit 16 points in that game. He missed a lot of open shots. He was 5 of 12 from the three-point line. He did get the record eventually over the weekend, but and a bunch of losses. Scary times right now for the Nuggets. And now you got to figure it out on the road. Maybe that's a good thing. Get out of here. Get out on the road. Figure it out.
I got another free agent update.
What do we got?
From Diana Russini, right tackle Mike McGlinchey from San Francisco is expected to sign with the Denver Broncos.
Oh my goodness. What is going on in Denver? Dude, Sean Payton ain't messing around. That's huge. Those were two of the big names in free agency on the offensive line. Holy cow, dude. If this comes true, they're going all in. They're expected to sign Mike McGlinchey. How about that? There's your right tackle. There's your left guard. Keep Garrett Bowles. Yeah, that's fine. Quinn Meinerz, keep him. That's insanity. We'll talk more about that coming up. 22 minutes after the hour, I'm going to have the color commentator, former Colorado State Ram, Adam Nygon, on the program with me. I was listening to his game. I had to drive out east to get my dad on, what day was that? Was that Thursday? And I'm just listening to the call, and he does a fantastic job. He's been with their radio coverage for a while now, but he has an amazing story that Kevin put together in the Fort Collins Coloradoan. You know, his walk-on journey, how he became a radio guy. But overall, I just want to talk to him about the state of college basketball, the state of the Mountain West, and Colorado State. So we're looking forward to getting Adam Nygon on the program. 23 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The trade deadline is come and gone. Can the Nuggets finally get to the finals? Hear our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Right. Yeah. Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. If you missed it, the Broncos are looking to sign right tackle Mike McGlinchey, former San Francisco 49er. They did sign former Baltimore Raven in Ben Power. I mean, that is a big deal right there. Absolutely monster for the Broncos to get this deal done. They need to get the offensive line fixed, and it sure seems to me that they've got it done. Just those two moves alone. But Ben Powers, man, I mean, he started 17 games at left guard for the Ravens last year. Unfortunately, that means probably the end for Dalton Reisner, but I mean, there's no question that those were two of the bigger names when it came to offensive line in the free agent market. Orlando Brown Jr., obviously, big name up there, but these two guys, big, solving your problems quickly. Denver just got better. They just got much better today.
Here's the contract information for McGlinchey. 5 years, $87.5 million with over $50 million guaranteed.
So, I mean, as much as we want to talk about Sean Payton, George Payton's doing some work. He's the one who's having to figure this out. You gotta cut people. You gotta move on from people. You gotta rework contracts. How about this though? They just locked up two of the best offensive linemen in the market. You know, two of the better offensive linemen in the NFL with Ben Powers and Mike McGlinchey. Protect Russell Wilson. Create lanes for Javonte Williams, assuming he's healthy. This is great. This is what you needed to do. You weren't going to go out and probably get big skill names and all that, but you went out and you got the most needed position right now, and that was offensive line. That was right tackle. That was the biggest one. And you like Quinn Meinerz. You know, what are they going to do at center? Do they keep Cushenberry? Do they go there? And then at left guard, now you have Powers there. Left tackle, do you keep Garrett Bowles? That's going to be a big question. Wow, what a Monday. What a time to be alive. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to get to Adam Nygaard, the color commentator for the Colorado State Rams on the radio side of things. Very excited to catch up with him. We have not talked to him before, but he's a great guy, and he's tearing it up. I really enjoy listening to him. So we'll talk to him kind of about the state of Colorado State, college basketball, transfer portal stuff, all of that coming up next. Adam Nygaard will join us 30 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
After 11 o'clock, welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A wild, wild Monday. We haven't even touched the brackets just yet. We got to get into that. We got NFL free agency happening. The Broncos are making moves. The Nuggets and the Avs are in turmoil right now. So much to talk about, so little time. But we are pumped about this next guest, color analyst for the Colorado State men's basketball team on the radio side of things, and former Colorado State Ram. What a wonderful story he has. Adam Nygaard joining us. Adam, my man, thanks so much for giving us some time, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Big fan of the show. I know you kind of highlight everything up north here for us, and we need a broader scope to get across the state, and you're doing a great job, so thanks for having me.
I appreciate you, man, but I appreciate you guys. I had to drive out to eastern Colorado to pick up my dad. He wanted to come up here. My old team was playing in the state tournament up here in Greeley, so I went out to get him, but I got to listen to the entire game broadcast by you guys, and of course, you just do such a phenomenal job. Such a bummer of a way for the Rams to end, of course, but man, they seem to leave it all out on the floor. They went down swinging.
Well, I don't know what was worse, a 30-point blowout or losing the way we did and just getting our hearts ripped out. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where I would have just taken the 30-point blowout and been done with it, but you know, to get that sliver of hope, you know, beating, you know, San Diego State, the best team in the league, and then, you know, we were going to play probably San Jose State at 10 miles the next game. It would have just been too good to be true, and truly just ripped your heart out the way we went down there in that last game.
Adam, that's a great point, too, because sometimes when you get the blowout, it's just like, all right, it wasn't meant to be. Let's move on with our life. But when you see it, you know, the Rams have given us that in doses throughout the season. I know they had injuries and guys were getting sick, and they just never really seemed to get it all together. But they did give us little doses of what they could possibly be. And so, Adam, let me ask you this follow-up question. Because of that little dose of what maybe Colorado State could be, does that increase the chance of a guy like Isaiah Stevens coming back next year?
Man, that's everybody's question that I talk to, isn't it? They all want to know the answer to that.
I wish I had a
better answer for you. And I'll give you this from a player's perspective. I really just don't see what Isaiah has left to accomplish coming back to school. So my thing is, I just really see it hard for him to come back, and you know, it's going to be might be a completely different team next year. There's a lot of guys that might come in, might go. So I just, man, all the things that he's done and everything like that, unless some NIL donor comes out of the woodworks and offers him, you know, six figures, it's really going to be tough for me to see Isaiah coming back. And I hate to say that because we've been so spoiled up there with him and what he's done the last 4 years, let's just say that.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting nowadays, too, when we look at all these extra years players have. I can't keep track anymore, Adam.
Right.
You know, the COVID year, all that stuff. You do wonder, I mean, there's plenty of good players that I've seen just over the last 2 years, and I scratch my head wondering, why aren't they coming back? They got a year left or whatever, or they move on, they go somewhere else. But sometimes maybe these guys, you're right, they just look at it and say, I accomplished a lot. I'm breaking records. I've got the assist record. We did go to March Madness. We did a lot of great things. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is time for Isaiah to move on, which would be unfortunate, but that could be one way he's looking at it too.
Yeah, I just hope he goes pro, because you talk about ripping your heart out. If he transferred to a Power 5 or something like that, and I'm having to watch him do the same thing, but not on our side, you know, that would really rip my heart out. But, you know, I mentioned it. He's been probably the best true point guard in the league since he stepped on campus 4 years ago. I mean, for the first 7 games of his career as a freshman, he was averaging like 50% from the field, 50 from three, and like 90 from free throw. And so it was like, you know, he came out of the gates shooting that and doing that, and it's like, oh, man, you know, he's never going to be able to sustain this. Well, he sustained that and more, and did a lot more at CSU after that. So it's just one of those things where, you know, how can we, you know, at CSU try and keep these guys around? That coaching staff has such a tough time, especially with just the portal and kids just jumping at the, you know, at the snap of a finger these days. I found that coaches find it hard to kind of be mean to players, if that sounds funny or not. You know, you got to almost sugarcoat everything, because you know that they can just take off and play right away. They don't have to sit. There's just so many more rules, which, again, players need more control over their, you know, career in NCAA for sure. But, you know, Isaiah, I think he's going to be a great pro. And when you look at how he played and the shots that he got for our guys, we missed a lot of open shots that he got for us. So I say when he gets to the pro level, he is going to be an asset for a lot of teams, just for the shots that he creates for other guys. And you get some better shooters around him, those numbers are going to increase by a lot more.
We're talking to Adam Nygon, color analyst for Colorado State, former Colorado State Ram as well, walked on with this team. You have a phenomenal story. I want to get into that in a moment. You brought up the transfer portal stuff, too, and that is why it's just so tough to be a college coach. I can't imagine. Now they have to re-recruit. It's not just about recruiting, scouting, whatever, getting guys coming in here. You said it best. It's almost like you got to sugarcoat this thing, because guys, yeah, If the wind blows in a different direction, maybe they decide, oh, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to like working with this guy or whatever. The grass is greener kind of thing. Adam, do you think that over time, maybe 5-10 years down the road, maybe we start to see some negative examples of guys moving on, their career kind of gets forgotten, whatever, that this transfer stuff will slow down a little bit? Or do you think it's going to take something like that? Or are we just, is this the wild, wild west from now on, for better or worse?
Well, I think first and foremost, we got to just get through all the COVID extra year stuff.
Right.
I can't even keep up with
us.
How many guys
yes.
have a year. Yeah, so I think if we can get past another year or two of guys finally being out of that sixth year, and then the transfer stuff is, you know, I'm a former player, so I stand with the players. It's, you know, if a coach can move on at the snap of a finger, so should a player. But, you know, how can we, as a, I guess specifically as CSU, how can we better protect ourselves to not make it so enticing for some of those guys to, you know, just see the bright lights of a Power 5 and just jump, you know, jump ship? It's, you know, it's NIL. It's the green and gold guard up at CSU. We need, you know, we're way behind on that stuff. We need a lot of things to change, and it's ever so changing, you know, day to day with that stuff, that you've got to be able to now not only provide that you know basketball, but, hey, you got to show them the money, too. I mean, that's the craziest part about all this is, you know, coaches are going into families' rooms, living rooms, this, you know, these off seasons, and first thing that comes out of their mouth is how much money, you know, can he make? Mm. It's not X's and O's. It's, you know, where's the money? So it's just the dynamic of recruiting and all that stuff is just, all these coaches are just, they just don't even know what to do. You're right. It's the wild, wild west. And I just don't know that in the next couple of years, it's going to change just because of NIL and money elsewhere. It really has kind of gone crazy in the NCAA as far as that goes.
Well, and the green and gold guard, as you mentioned, hopefully that's something where we're really starting to fill up some money there for these guys. And I know UNC's even toying with doing stuff like that. But that's the thing about this. It happened all so fast, Adam, before two falls ago, that a lot of schools like CSU and such, they were left out in the dark trying to figure this thing out, and a lot of programs were like that because it was brand new. It was hard to navigate through this. Now I think maybe some of these programs are starting to get into it. Even if they were reluctant, they're maybe finally saying, you know what, this is what it is. We got to start working with groups like the Green and Gold.
No, it's exactly what it is. The dynamics changed, and you know, it's got to be tough for universities, too, at some point to say, well, maybe don't donate to the university directly. Maybe, they're not going to tell you not to donate to them anymore. So, you know, I see people got, you know, this donor fatigue, which I didn't really realize. But, man, yeah, you are asking for a lot of different money going a lot of different ways from a lot of these programs. And, you know, sometimes our alumni, you know, you are who you are. And if your biggest donors and boosters aren't stepping up in that big way, then you're going to be behind the eight ball again. And, you know, it's kind of funny with the NIL stuff. I heard a story. You know, everybody thinks these players are making millions of dollars or, you know, tens of thousands every month and all this. But I'll put it in perspective. I talked to the San Diego State assistant the other day. He says all their guys make $2,000 a month, and that's it. They're barely making any money outside of the businesses and stuff around the community. It's just, there's this collective pool for everybody, and that's what they're getting. And then you get, you know, guys like New Mexico, who they've got a big donor base, not a lot around town. So, you know, they got some guy on their team making over 100K.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, how can you compete in a transfer portal for some of that stuff when literally as an 18-year-old kid, if somebody came up to you and said, all right, I'm going to pay you $2,000 or I'm going to pay you $100,000, you know, just to play basketball, what's your decision? You know, it's just that's the nature of the beast right now.
Well, and I think that's a great point, too, because if you're CSU, I mean, and again, I know that the green and gold guard is not part of CSU, but you want them to succeed if you're CSU. You want that to grow.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, oh, so-and-so car dealership's pulling their money out of the scoreboard sponsorship or whatever, and they're putting it all toward the green and gold guard. It is kind of interesting because they want each other to succeed, but they're also kind of working against each other.
It is. It's just and then they're supposed to not be affiliated with the school,
right?
Too, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, but then you can have ADs, you know, talk them up and say donate to them. It's just the NCAA has handcuffed themselves into so many different ways on how they've handled a lot of just different situations. But this in particular, it's like, okay, well, now guys can get paid, but let's put some specific rules in that don't make any sense either. It's just, it's all or nothing, and it just seems like they're still trying to grab a hold of something that they can just to say they're still boss. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, it's very confusing navigating through all of this stuff. Like I said, I don't know. It's getting harder and harder to be a college coach. Adam,
right.
How cool was it for you to see what Tim Miles did throughout the course of the season with San Jose State? Of course, you walked on. You were coached by Tim Miles and all that. How cool was that? How special was that to witness what he was doing?
Well, here's a funny story. I'm in my group chat with a couple of guys and coach, and, you know, I texted a couple guys as soon as he took that job because I've seen San Jose State's facilities, the lack of community, you know, that gets behind them. And I texted some of my friend. I said, man, I hate that he took this job. Mm. I absolutely hate it. I just know nobody gets behind you. It's so hard to win. How are you going to get guys that can play for you? Well, if anybody could do it, I should have known Tim could do it because he just started rolling that thing. And Brian called me out on the radio the other day when we played at San Jose State. He said, what colors are you wearing out there right now? And I'm a big Tim Miles guy, and I've been rooting for him hard. He's done such a good job, especially with just – he talk about transfers. You know, a guy at San Jose State who doesn't have any NIL money, you know, there's transfers out there who just have some baggage or some things that, you know, aren't as enticing as some of those bigger schools to where – that's what you got to do at San Jose State. You've got to get some of those transfers to come in that nobody really believed in. They know the money's not going to be there, and you know, just got to believe in coach. And gosh, it's pretty hard not to believe in him now with everything that he's doing. I mean, honestly, he should be a candidate for National Coach of the Year. It's,
sure.
It's pretty insane.
Any inside information? Where's he going to be next year?
I'm not that close. No, I don't know that. I tell people yesterday's price is not today's price for him, though. Let's say that.
Right. Well, we'll be curious to see how that one goes. I love your story, man. Walk on and what you were able to accomplish at CSU. One of the great Rams that we talk about, man, especially your story. I just absolutely love it. Kevin did a great write-up on you in the Colorado one the other day. So cool for you. And then now to have that connection and hearing you broadcast these games, I love that perspective that you can bring to these broadcasts.
Yeah, I do. It's funny. If anybody read that article, I kind of walked in the wrong door in two different spots of my life and never left. You know, I walked in the wrong door playing basketball. I got on the basketball team, and then guy, you know, well, Jerry Schimmel actually,
sure,
threw my name to, you know, somebody at CSU, and that's all it took. And they just threw me in, and it's, you know, it's been so cool to just kind of develop into that side of things, but yet still be a player and still be connected with CSU so closely that, you know, I try to tell it how it is. You know, I don't try to sugarcoat things. I if I see something that they're doing wrong, I'm going to call them out. If I see another team do something good, I'm going to say they're doing good. It's, you know, I'm kind of a basketball purist in that I root for the game, and, you know, good or bad, I'm going to call it out.
Well, I certainly enjoy listening to you guys, you and Brian, of course. And man, just best of luck to you going up to next season. And as we're plotting this out, we want to stay connected with you, man. We'd love to get you on more and more. But absolutely a huge fan of yours, my friend.
No, I appreciate it. Likewise, man. I know, like I said, you kind of give us a little spotlight that we much need up north. So I'm happy to hop on whenever you need it and whenever you want to talk some Rams hoops.
I love it, man. Let's rock and roll. Let's see if the Mountain West can have a decent showing, too, in this March Madness
coming
up.
That's what I'm hoping for. Get that first win since 2018.
That's
the biggest part.
Well, it seems like we got the horses. Can they do it? Can they get past that first round? Adam, my man, appreciate you. Let's stay in touch. We'll connect with you real soon.
I appreciate it, Brady. Thanks.
All right. Adam Nygon, former Colorado State Ram, walk-on, amazing story. Check that one out at the Colorado one, courtesy of our boy Kevin Lytle. 49 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear local coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire for Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Probably hear that a lot throughout the day, probably throughout the week, but the Raiders got their guy. They're closing in on a deal with quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, according to Ian Rapoport's Twitter earlier moments ago. What's that deal look like there, Angel?
Coming from Schefter, the Raiders are signing Jimmy G to a three-year, $67.5 million deal, including $34 million guaranteed.
How about that? Jimmy G reunited with Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels got his Patriot. So, good move. Is Jimmy G or Derek Carr?
I like Jimmy G.
You go Jimmy G.
I think you put him back with McDaniel. McDaniels.
Yeah.
Gotta make sure you correct it. I think that works. I think it's a team where he can go and not feel a ton of pressure, at least not as much in San Francisco.
Okay, so about a month ago, we did our superheroes in the AFC West. Patrick Mahomes, we gave Superman, right? Russell Wilson, we gave Aquaman. Herbie Hancock, what did we say he was?
Like Green Lantern. Green Lantern,
something. We were going to go Aaron Rodgers as Batman, but that's, so Jimmy G, who is he? Where does he sit on this?
Plastic Man.
What's the guy from The Watchmen? The perfect one? The guy that's like perfect?
Dr. Manhattan?
No, the other. Well, yeah, that would be good. The other guy.
I don't know The Watchmen that well.
Oh, you don't? Okay. That's fine.
I know Rorschach, But
no, yeah, it's a different one. It's a different one. It's like the smartest man or something like that. So Jimmy G is a Raider. The AFC West. So an upgrade in your mind at quarterback.
I think so.
Jimmy G over Carr. McDaniel's got his guy. We knew that something like this was going to happen with Josh McDaniels. It's what he did in Denver. It's exactly what he did in Denver. He shipped everybody out and started bringing in his guys or guys that were similar to the type of style and play that he wanted. He wanted Kyle Orton over Jay Cutler. Because I guess Orton was close to Matt Castle kind of deal. I don't know. But this is a McDaniels thing to do. We'll see how this one works.
I think it sets the Raiders up as a New England Patriot type offense. With the running back they have, with the weapons they have at tight end and receiver. You just need a quarterback that can stand in the pocket and just facilitate the ball.
Yeah, well, now what's this mean for Aaron Rodgers? Packers, Jets.
Jets fans are getting worried.
Jets fans, yeah. So here's what we're thinking the starting lineup, at least some of the starters might be, for the offensive line for Denver, assuming they keep Garrett Bowles, which I'm thinking they're going to now. Garrett Bowles, Ben Powers, Quinn Meinerz, and Mike McGlinchey. Yet to be determined what they do at center. But that is a strong offensive line right there. George Payton said a few weeks ago they needed to upgrade their offense, their offensive line. In the first 90 minutes of free agency, the Broncos have spent over $30 million per year on the two new starters on their line. That is putting your money where your mouth is. George Payton, I'm going to say this. I know everybody's going to be like in love with Sean Payton. And maybe that's the attractor for these free agents, but George Payton's, he's getting deals done. He's moving money around. He's moving things around. The Broncos are making things happen. We'll be right back.